I'm Batman.
You're not Batman. I'm Batman.
He's an imposter. I'm the real Batman. Don't listen to him.
Everybody, he's Joker. He's just pretending to be Batman.
All right, just kidding. Neither one of us are Batman. Spoiler. This is Press Any Button, a video game podcast. And I'm Nikki.
I'm Eric. And we are talking about Batman, even though none of us are Batman.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wish I was Batman. That'd be pretty cool. If I had, like, millions more dollars, I could be Batman. You know, it's not like he has really any special powers or anything. Everything he has is bought with money.
I mean, he does have some athletic ability, some, like, bare minimum. You probably have to be some kind of an athlete.
That's true. I don't have any of that going for me. All right. So today we are not only talking about Batman in general, but we're talking about the video game Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yes.
Which is a 2009 action adventure game developed by Rocksteady Studios and published by Eidos Interactive for PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and Windows. A Mac OS X version was released later in 2011. In the game's main storyline, Batman battles his arch-enemy, the Joker, who investigates an elaborate plot to seize control of Arkham Asylum. Trap Batman inside with many of his incarcerated foes and threaten Gotham City with hidden bombs.
With bombs.
Typical Joker shenanigans. Spoiler warning, we are going to be talking about the story and some major plot points. So if you haven't played this game in the last, I don't know, what, like 15 years? I can't do math in my head.
15 years.
You know.
15-ish years.
You know, spoilers. You should go play the game.
Yeah.
All right. So Eric, were you able to find a bunch of history?
I was, yeah. I think I got a pretty good history section for this game.
Awesome. I can't wait to hear it.
All right, let's do it.
Carry on with the history.
Only if you say so, Batman.
All right.
So for this, I want to start all the way back in 1989.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Do you know what happened in 1989?
Taylor Swift was born.
I mean, related to Batman.
Oh, I don't know. Was that the first Batman movie?
Maybe. I don't know when that came out, actually.
Okay. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Probably would have been 80s. But there was a Batman graphic novel by Grant Morrison and Dave McKean called Arkham Asylum, A Serious House on Serious Earth.
Ooh, sounds very serious.
Yeah, and this graphic novel is considered one of the best stories in the franchise, and the psychologically driven and horror-oriented take on the Batman mythos gave it a distinctness from other conventional superhero works at the time. And so this is also kind of one of the main sources of inspiration for the, you know, Arkham Asylum game.
Yeah. So before this, Batman was kind of more like funny, sort of like wacky.
I wouldn't say funny or wacky. I would just say more prototypical, like, superhero.
Okay.
So, you know, like Superman, The Flash, Wonder Woman, like, kind of fit right in with that bunch.
Okay, and then this one was different because it took more of a darker
kind of a darker tone. More serious kind of horror oriented approach.
That's where it all began.
Yeah,
because now it's like you almost exclusively see Batman in that light, you know.
Yeah,
which I kind of miss the old Batman a little bit. That was a little more
fun,
funny. Yeah. A little more not so like realistic, I guess. Yeah, you know. But I like both, so.
Yeah, me too. They're both good in different ways, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to fast forward to 2007.
Whoa, whiplash, babe. Whoa.
Get into the actual game. So a video game production company, Eidos' parent company, receives a large investment from Warner Brothers, and with that investment comes a license to use their classic properties.
Oh, nice. I mean, that's cool.
And so, of course, you know, first thing they're going to do, Batman game.
Yeah, it's probably what I would choose too, honestly.
So Eidos is trying to figure out who to develop their new Batman game, and they view a prototype from a little-known British developer called Rocksteady Studios.
Does this have anything to do with Gwen Stefani? Or No Doubt? Okay. I've got all the musical references today.
I'm not sure I got that one, but...
Oh, they have an album called Rocksteady. You know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a good album.
Okay. Cool. Now I learned something.
Yeah, you're welcome. You learned two things today. When Taylor Swift was born. And about this album. I'm just educating you. And you're educating me, so...
Yeah, it's going both ways today.
It is. Okay, anyway, continue.
Okay, so yeah, they see this prototype from Rocksteady. They bring him in and ask him what their approach would be. And then soon after that, Rocksteady has a team of 40 people working on the game's development.
40?
Yeah, so they went from this little, like, studio no one heard of to developing this big AAA game from Eidos.
Dang. I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think so.
I wonder if they had any, like, growing pains, because that's a big jump, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So Rocksteady decided they wanted to set the game in Arkham Asylum because it was a way to confine Batman to a single area containing several major villains, whereas an open city setting, Batman could receive help, return to the Batcave, or otherwise be able to distance himself from the opponents. So I think their thought was like, okay, he's just going to be in this one spot and we can have all the villains kind of in this one spot.
Yeah, it makes sense. This is the first game. They probably don't want to put too much on their plate that they can't actually execute.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, whereas Arkham, you know, later in the series.
Yeah,
you,
Arkham
you
know, City and Arkham Knight.
Yeah, and they're way more open world.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it was a good idea to start in, like, a single location almost. I mean, it's not one location because you have multiple buildings and multiple, like, areas.
Yeah, it's kind of like just a small island.
It's a good way to kind of give yourself some boundaries so you don't just go, like, nuts with every single idea, you know? It kind of helps put, like, some parameters on.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah, so they didn't have too broad of a scope with it, so it didn't end up in one of those development hell.
Yeah, I think that's a really smart idea.
So for the story, Rocksteady brought in veteran writer Paul Dini, who was the head writer for Batman the Animated Series, the new Batman Adventures, and Batman Beyond, as well as some other non-Batman related shows.
Yeah. So he really knows his stuff, basically.
Yeah.
And you can tell.
And did you watch much of Batman the Animated Series? Because that was my favorite one.
No, I don't think I really watched, like, hardly any of it.
I think he actually won some award for, like, a daytime show or something like that for some of the writing. But I remember the animated series having, like, really good stories, especially for, like, a cartoon of that era.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was kind of, like, surprisingly more mature.
Did you watch that, like, Saturday mornings or?
I forget when it came on, but I definitely watched it whenever I could. It was really good. I love that cartoon.
It sounds like they're making all the right decisions.
Yeah. And here's another good one. So speaking of Batman, the animated series and its spinoffs, here's an early fun fact for you.
Oh.
There are several voice actors from those shows who reprised their roles for this game, including Mark Hamill as the Joker, Kevin Conroy as Batman, and Arlene Sorkin as Harley Quinn.
Nice.
So they brought back some veteran voice actors as well as a veteran writer.
Yeah. They, like, really wanted to make sure this was a good game, it sounds like.
Yeah, they were trying to make it legit.
I wonder if the main people working on the game are big Batman fans, and that's why they were really wanting to make sure that it was good, you know?
Yeah, I gotta imagine they definitely were. So, the developers intended to use other Batman characters in the game, but they were removed when it was decided they would not work within the story. For example, like, they wanted to have Mr. Freeze, but that character wouldn't fit because he has different motivations from the Joker, does not hold a personal grudge against Batman, and would not care about the other villains' plans, basically.
Yeah.
Other villains cut include Clayface and Mad Hatter. So they had kind of a even broader idea in mind, but yeah, they ended up having to cut some characters.
And they definitely kind of introduce those characters a little bit. Like, I know there's one of the Riddler riddles where you have to take a picture of like a tea set. That looks like it would be from, like, you know, Alice in Wonderland. Did they have any like ideas of maybe having Catwoman there?
I didn't see Catwoman, but
I just thought that she would have been cool.
Well, we know like she's in some of the later games. I know at least Arkham Knight. I don't remember Arkham City or not.
Yeah, it's hard because Batman has so many different enemies.
Yeah. So combat was considered one of the greatest challenges in developing this game. The system went through 3 iterations. Rocksteady originally developed the game's combat as a full rhythm action game. It was later set in 2D, which involved color circles crashing into each other during fights.
No.
But the final system was kind of a little bit based on their 2D model.
That yeah.
ended up because they, I guess they had some of the flashing colors that would indicate, you know, what kind of attack was coming.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that they didn't make it strictly like that. I like what they ended up with a lot better than what that sounds like.
Yeah. So there were some other non-Batman related sources of inspiration for this game. Producer Nathan Berlow said the narrative and atmosphere of BioShock influenced Arkham Asylum's design. Do you see that?
Yeah, a little bit.
And director Sefton Hill said influences of the gadgets and abilities that can be combined and used in different ways came from The Legend of Zelda and Metroid. So those games were also kind of inspiration for some of the gameplay.
I haven't played either of those, so like, do you see the references there?
Yeah, I mean, in Zelda and Metroid, you're definitely collecting different weapons that can be used in different ways, and sometimes one weapon can be used to help make another weapon better.
I definitely see some like horror movie kind of influences also with just like the creepiness of the asylum and everything.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple of jump scares, you know, that are kind of fun.
I think of those screaming crazy guys you fight later.
God. The lunatics.
Yeah, the lunatics. Man, those guys are creepy.
They are.
Okay, so Arkham Asylum took 21 months to complete, and the original team of 40 expanded to 60 by the time it was finished.
Wow.
So, yeah, roughly 2 years.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, I don't think so. So when it was released to widespread critical acclaim. Edge magazine said it was by some distance the best superhero game of modern times, and Eurogamers called it the best superhero game bar none.
I mean, what other superhero games would you compare it to back in 2009?
Oh man, there was a pretty decent Spider-Man game that came out for PS2, I remember.
Okay.
That was probably, yeah, there just really weren't a lot.
I can't really
of,
think of that many.
There really weren't a lot of good superhero games back in the day. And a lot of them were kind of like those movie video games where they're just like, you know, cash grabs.
Yeah. So not necessarily good.
They're like, okay, we know this is going to sell well. So there's not like a huge motivation to go the extra mile.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it has Batman or Superman on it. So yeah, speaking of sales worldwide, the game sold nearly 2 million units in its first 3 weeks of release.
Dang.
By October 2011, which would have been roughly 2 years after release, the game had sold 4.3 million copies. So, nice. Yeah, it sold really well.
Yeah.
And part of the reason why it probably sold way better than it would normally otherwise, because it was a really good game.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, once word of mouth gets around, like, honestly, that's one of the best marketing things you can have is just putting out a good game so that people will talk about it. Because if it's good, you really don't even have to pay people to do anything. They'll just talk about it for free, you know?
Yeah, and the game really does do a good job of kind of capturing the essence of Batman or what you would want from a Batman game.
Yeah. Something I thought was kind of cool was I was watching this on Twitch earlier, and when I was searched for the game, I was like, oh, I'll probably see like 2 people playing it, you know, because it's old.
Yeah.
There's actually a good amount of people playing it. I don't know if it's because they recently put it on sale. I know you got like a really good deal on the first 2 games.
Yeah.
But I was surprised at how many people were playing it live.
Yeah. Well, there was also the recent Switch release where they put the trilogy on the Switch.
Oh, maybe that's why.
Not the trilogy. I mean, there's 4 games, but they put the Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight combined into 1 game.
What's the fourth one?
Arkham Origins.
Okay.
It came out between Arkham City and Arkham Knight.
Okay.
Which I never played that one, but it's technically part
of... So if you want to play it in order, you would do Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Origins, and then Arkham Knight. Okay.
Yeah, but Arkham Origins is kind of weird because it was also made by a different studio, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a part of it, but kind of not...
Yeah, exactly. Gotcha. That's a good way to describe it.
Okay.
Because I always think of the three games, but I'm like, oh yeah. But I've also never played it, so I can't really say anything.
Okay.
Okay, and so that's my history. And
wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I got four fun facts for you.
Wow, that's a lot. Let's go.
You ready for some fun facts?
Batarang them over to me.
So I like this one. One of the developers spent the 2 years of development time working specifically on Batman's cape, using over 700 animations and sound effects to make it move realistically.
Wow.
Did you notice that at all? Were you able to appreciate the cape?
I mean, I did notice the cape. Did I appreciate the cape? No, not really. You know, ever since I've watched The Incredibles, I can only think of like how capes are dangerous. They're going to probably get you killed. So, but I did notice like at the beginning, you know, your cape is all nice and new looking. And yeah. Then like by the end, it's like all ripped and stuff.
Yeah, that was a nice touch where they kind of like made Batman kind of more beat up as he went along.
Yeah.
But yeah, the cape physics were, it's one of those minor things where you don't really think about or appreciate how complicated mm-hmm. it actually is to get it to look right.
But if it was wrong, you yeah. would be like, oh, you yeah. wouldn't be able to not look at it, you know?
For sure. All right. So fun fact number two, and you might actually already know this, but there's a hidden room in Arkham Mansion where after applying three sprays of explosive gel on a wall, players can enter and see blueprints, pictures, and plans for the sequel, Batman Arkham City. Using detective vision won't give hints as to where the room is. It was also so well hidden that Rocksteady didn't say anything about it until 6 months after the game's release.
Dang.
And no, I don't think anyone found it before then.
I don't think I found it.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't have seen it through the detective mode. And you would have had to known to apply three gels to a specific wall.
Yeah, I definitely didn't figure that out on my own.
I think that's eventually why they said something was because no one was finding it.
That's funny. They're like, okay, you guys are dumb. I have to tell you.
It's like you guys didn't try to like blow up, like majorly blow up every single wall in the game.
I know. They should have just not said anything because, you know, eventually somebody would find it because people be cray out there.
I mean, eventually, but they were also, you know, Arkham City was coming out in 2011. So
yeah,
they wanted it to kind of like be a sneak peek for that a little bit.
Gotcha. That's kind of funny.
All right. So fun fact number three, if Rocksteady's Batman Arkham Asylum detects a pirated copy, Batman's cape will refuse to open, preventing players from gliding. Besides making it much harder, it also makes the game unwinnable since gliding is required in progress in multiple sections of the game.
Yeah, there's certain sections where you have to glide over. Yeah. That's kind of funny. So I wonder, like, I'm not very good at that kind of stuff, but I wonder how it knows if you have a pirated copy.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would imagine they, like, would sneak one out there, mm-hmm. maybe as a torrent or something. But I don't know. I have no idea.
Sounds very sneaky.
All right. So fun fact number four. In 2008, GameStop ran a contest to have a person's likeness included in the game. The winner, Luke Oliver, can be seen in a cell pacing back and forth in the area of the penitentiary where Clayface's cell is. Oliver's name is also on Joker's party list.
What? That is so cool. Why don't they do stuff like that anymore?
Yeah,
I
want to
be in a Batman game or any video game, really. You know, if anyone's listening, you're making a game. Yeah, let me know if you need some dorky, you know, redheaded chick.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty fun.
That is cool. So, like, you said it was a contest?
Yeah.
So, like, I wonder how... what you had to do.
Yeah, I don't know. It was through GameStop, so I would imagine it was like you had to pre-order the game because that was GameStop's thing back in the day.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Man, they could never pull something like that off now.
Yeah, it's tough.
But maybe like Steam or someone could.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
All right, well, that's all my fun facts.
Wow. Those are some good ones.
Thanks.
Good job, babe.
No problem, Nikki. You're the true hero of Kennesaw, Georgia.
All right. Do you want to talk about the story?
We can, like, do a quick little short version. Basically, Joker lures you into the asylum, and then, what is it? He's paid off the head guy.
Yeah, I think he's paid off several guys because, like, initially they have him strapped to this table, and then they just, like, kind of push him into this area with one guard, and he beats up the one guard they put him in with.
And then basically he takes over the asylum, lets all the people out of their cells and stuff.
Yeah.
Chaos ensues. And then, yeah, the rest of the game, you're just trying to get to Joker and fight him.
Yeah. He also has this access to the drug that was also developed, happened to be developed in this facility.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it was like a drug that makes prisoners or people like super buff.
Yeah, they kind of like mutate into this weird looking gross muscle creature version of theirself.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of your typical Batman story, I feel like.
Yeah, nothing too over the top. It was good. It definitely had its moments.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go ahead and go into the pros now.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, the best moments of the story were when Batman was exposed to the fear gas.
Mm-hmm.
And he would kind of, like, trip out and you'd get these, like, crazy things happen. Like, he would find Commissioner Gordon dead or, you know. The crazy one, you know, is where the game just totally glitches out and you kind of have, like, a fourth wall breaking moment.
Where you play as a Joker for, like, 30 seconds.
It's a bit longer than that, but, like, yeah, the game glitches out, and then it goes back to the intro, and the roles are reversed, where it's, like, the Joker committing Batman to Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
And what I thought was also cool about that is in that cutscene, the Joker kills Batman, and you get a tooltip. It's like, oh, yeah, dodge his gun with the joystick, and really, like, you don't have to do that. You just, like, kind of revive in this weird spot.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah.
I remember when that happened and I was like, was that supposed to happen? Or did the game, like, really just glitch out? But yeah, that was kind of cool. I thought the story was, like, enough to be interesting and it was enough to just be there to keep you going, but not too much to where it bogged you down. You had
That's
to talk
true.
To, like, 5 billion people and had, like, 5 million side quests and all that stuff.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is the writer, I think this was his first game that he was writing on, and he was kind of, he had to help be guided about how much he should write by the people making the game so they could get that good balance between story and gameplay.
Yeah, I'm sure it's totally different writing a cartoon
yeah.
or a book or a movie or anything versus a video game.
Yeah, definitely. So what's something that you liked about it?
It's Batman. Hello. Batman's one of the coolest superheroes ever. One of my favorite superheroes. And I don't know. He's just ridiculous. He's great.
Yeah, I love Batman.
And it's like, he's the kind of hero that's like, you know what? If I was rich enough, I might could be him. And took a lot of, like, athletic classes, you know.
Yeah, I always liked Batman because he had to rely more on his, like, intelligence to kind of, like, beat the villains.
Mm-hmm.
And less so much on a superpower because, yeah, he had no superpower. So instead, he creates a bunch of cool gadgets and stuff to help him.
Yeah. He's kind of like a mixture of, like, a superhero and, like, James Bond or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's true. I didn't really think about that. But yeah, that was one of the cool things about Bond is he always gets these cool gadgets.
Yeah, but he also loves to dress up as a bat, which is just so extra, you know? It's great. Yeah.
It is very extra. So one of the things I loved is this combat system. It makes you feel like a complete badass.
Oh, hey, that's what I have as my first pro also.
Yeah, it's basically that action movie trope of everyone surrounding the hero and then attacking one at a time.
Yeah.
I know they didn't invent this style of combat, but they really did do an incredible job of making it feel smooth and effortless.
Yeah.
Like in a lot of games, like when you hit the attack button, like half the time you just like miss and hit air.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, like you're almost kind of like magnetized to the enemy. So like Batman almost like never just like whiffs on a punch.
Yeah.
You're almost always connecting. You just have to worry about like the timing and the counters and mm-hmm. all the other stuff.
And if you get so many moves in a row, you can start building like a combo.
Yeah. And then you get those special abilities mm-hmm. where you can like, you know, do like a special attack or throw somebody or something.
Yeah. And the combat is quite simple, honestly. Like, you're pretty much just pressing like square, at least on PlayStation. You're pressing like square to hit. And like, that's really the main attack move that you have. And then you kind of have like circle, which will sort of like stun the enemy.
Yeah. And that becomes...
you need to do if they have like certain weapons.
Yeah.
And then there's like a counter. And then you have dodge. So really, like, you really only have one button to punch people or whatever with, you yeah. know? So it's kind of quite simple, but it's just fun the way it adds on to each other and the way they did the graphics and the way you can kind of like bounce around from one henchman to another.
Yeah, it feels so satisfying because it does, like, it does look like Batman is just a complete badass, like,
yeah.
beating
yeah.
up all these people.
Yeah, like you said, it's like in the movies for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think of like obviously the Batman movies, but also like Kill Bill is like a really good example of that. I don't know. I just feel like every scene in that movie, Uma Thurman's fighting like 50 dudes. You know?
Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, it's like super fun to get to be like in the action. Another thing I like is I think it's a pretty good balance of fighting and puzzles. There's obviously all the Riddler puzzles, but there's also a lot of challenges in finding like alternative routes around obstacles and like the map and stuff.
Yeah.
And then what else?
There's also the stealth sections. So you have the normal combat where, you know, you have like a big crowd of people you're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the stealth sections where everyone has a gun, so you can't really engage in direct combat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
I thought you said cell sections.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stealth sections. Yeah, I do like the stealth attack. That's really fun too. But yeah. I think it's a good balance of fighting, but also puzzles. And like, it's a good action adventure game.
Yeah, you don't get too bored with one thing because it keeps changing it up.
Yeah, and the Riddler has like 4 or 5 different things you're looking for. So it's not just all finding the Riddler trophies.
Yeah.
Some of it is finding like this lore from like the asylum and the different villains. You find like recordings, which is like therapist interviews with the villains.
Yeah, I thought those are pretty cool.
What else? Oh, there's like these comedian teeth, you know, those teeth that like chomp around and they laugh, and you have to like hit those with your batarang.
Yeah, the Joker teeth.
And then there's certain word riddles that you need to find in the room and take a picture of, which
yeah.
I think those are probably the more fun ones for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I agree. Those are a lot of fun.
You have to think about it, and it kind of like forces you to explore the room and explore the environment more and appreciate all the work that everyone put yeah. into everything. And some of the Riddler puzzles you could only see in detective mode, which I thought were really fun. And they were like question marks.
Oh, but yeah, you had to complete the question mark or whatever.
Yeah, that would be like, you would usually see a question mark without the dot underneath it. And the puzzle was like trying to find the dot and line it up visually so that it, you know, was yeah. a line, and take a picture of it. And those were like super fun to try to figure out also.
Yeah, I had no idea what those were for most of the game. It's like, what the hell is this question mark doing here?
Yeah, I felt super smart once I figured it out. I was like, oh, there's the dot. Oh, yeah, there we go. I figured it out. And then I had to go back, obviously, and find some of the other ones because I was like, that I had seen, but yeah. I didn't know what to do yet. But yeah, I like all the different kinds of things that the Riddler has. He's like his whole separate kind of like side story,
yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, I've always liked that in these Arkham games, the Riddler stuff.
Yeah.
So one of my pros is just the voice acting is really good in this game.
It is.
And Mark Hamill as the Joker, just, he's so good. I don't know. It's like peak Batman right there.
Yeah, all the main characters have really good voice acting. Some of the guards, you know, not so much, but it's yeah. okay. The money was spent where it should have been.
And
I'm
like,
sure he wasn't cheap, you know.
Yeah, and most of the lines of dialogue are going to be Batman, Joker. those characters.
And the villains, yeah.
Yeah, the villains.
I love the asylum setting. It's just a classic creepy setting that you know shit's gonna go down. And a lot of video games, I feel like, take place in some kind of asylum or some kind of, like, you know, psychiatric facility. So that isn't super new. But it makes sense in the context of Batman because that's very prevalent in, like, the stories and the comics and stuff. Like, it's just a good setting. It, like, really puts you in the mood that they were going for. It's dark, creepy.
Yeah, it definitely gets you in that Batman playing mood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also had good things to say about the atmosphere. It was just, like, the setting and how everything built on it. On top of each other, like the sound design and the music and stuff, it all worked really well.
And the world itself isn't like small, but it's not huge. You know, you have a lot of different sections to explore, but it doesn't feel overwhelming.
Yeah, it almost feels like maybe a little bit too small, but that, I think that's like later on because you have those more open world games.
And I think it makes more sense to go larger in the environment than to go smaller. You know, it would have been weird if they started with, like, the whole city and then just put Batman in the asylum, you know? So yeah. I think it works for it being the first
Yeah, I do too.
Game. Another cool thing is the detective mode that they give you. It's kind of like, I've seen this in other games. I don't know if this was one of the first ones that did it.
I think it was early on. I don't think it invented this where, you know, this view where it just kind of shows you the important stuff, but it was definitely one of the games that pioneered it.
But I do like it. I think it's really helpful. It works in this game and it's like a cool aspect or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
And I like using it. It's helpful. Especially when you're looking for the power box to open up the closed off like sections.
Yeah.
And then you have to decode it or whatever, hack it. Sometimes finding the boxes that go to the doors, like, it's not always obvious. So, like, I feel like detective mode is super helpful with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And speaking of some of the gadgets, I really love the way in this game the gadgets kind of do build on top of each other.
Yeah.
So you start off with basic stuff and you're looking at stuff at the same time where you're like, how do I get in that vent? Or well, how do I get that explosive wall all the way up there?
I know, man. At the beginning, I spent a little too long trying to
me too.
Do some stuff that I literally couldn't do because I didn't have the right tool.
Yeah, but then you get that gadget and you're like going, oh yeah, now I can go back and like now it makes sense.
Yeah. Man, when you get the ultra bat claw, it's like, ding, ding, ding. Here's like most of the stuff, you know.
Yeah, you see so many of those blast walls that you're like, how do I get the bat gel up there?
Oh, and the line caster thing, because that's like,
that's a cool
gets you past a lot of sections where I was like, man, like there was one Riddler trophy and it was like, you had to go over all this water that was being electrocuted.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, how am I supposed to get over there? And I spent a good minute trying to figure it out. I was trying to jump on all these things that you couldn't jump on and stuff. And then I was like, eventually, like, okay, I'm going to have to come back to this. And then I got the line caster and I was like, oh.
Yeah. My problem is I would forget I had the line caster. So I'd still like, how do I get over there? It's like, I can't glide that far. Like, line caster.
It made stuff like a lot easier because like you could just use that instead of trying to jump or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was cool. What's something else you like?
So my last pro is just the developers clearly cared about and respected the source material just by bringing all these veterans in. And it really did, I feel like, make the game a lot better. Just the storytelling and the voice act, it makes it really feel like a classic Batman story.
Yeah, it seems like they put a lot of love and care into it and really wanted to make sure like the fans were happy also.
Yeah.
Because Batman fans are
hard to please.
Legit, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, like, one last thing I really want to talk about, because I think this is really cool, and I haven't seen it in a lot of other games like this, is that, like, there's a couple of parts where it kind of switches over to this, like, 2D platforming style of gameplay. Like, when you're facing Scarecrow, I think is his name.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
it kind of flips into this 2D platforming style of gameplay where it's actually very similar to the Evil Within 2, because you have this part where you're behind these walls and Scarecrow is like scanning, and basically you have to like navigate so that he doesn't see you, and if he sees you, you automatically die,
it,
you know?
Yeah, it almost feels like Evil Within 2 copied that directly.
I definitely noticed a lot of things in some newer games that I've played where I'm like, oh, they did that in this game before they did it in that game, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought that was like really unique and different, and I wasn't expecting that. They also kind of do it when you're doing the Poison Ivy fight. You're on this like 2D kind of like environment. Like, you can only kind of go left and right.
Yeah. So
you, and she's kind of like in one spot and you're kind of moving. It's not exactly the same, but it's just like a different gameplay.
Yeah. Style. And that was probably the best boss fight in the game, just because it does change up the style.
Yeah.
Because the other bosses, you're just kind of doing the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I had to look up the Poison Ivy fight because I was like, I played it like 3 times and I was barely doing any damage, and I was like, I'm missing something. You know, when you have that feeling, you're like, yeah, it definitely shouldn't be this hard, you know? And I was like, yeah, sure enough, I wasn't throwing it when her eye was open. I was just throwing it. Yeah. So yeah, I was like, that did a lot more damage, and I was like, oh yeah, that's the thing that I was missing.
But, yeah.
But sometimes I don't always pick up on that kind of stuff. But once I knew what to do, I thought that fight was really fun. Before, I didn't know what to do. I was like, ugh, this is going to take 5 million years to beat.
Yeah, it took me a minute on that fight, too, just because it is like a change up from the normal style. So it does make it a little bit more challenging in that sense.
Yeah, I did like it, though, like once I got past it and everything.
All right, so what's a kind you got?
So I have a good bit of cons, even though I do really like this game overall. I think that just the time period that it came out, you know, because it is kind of old. There's some things that I'm going to mention as a con that I may not have mentioned if we were reviewing this in 2009. You know?
Yeah, true.
But like some of the graphics, you know, haven't aged quite so well. There's certain scenes where you're talking to a guard and their mouth is like not moving quite with the words and stuff.
Yeah,
just like little things like that. Overall, I think it still looks pretty good though, like
for the most part,
so old,
it's good. But yeah, some of the guards and sometimes Batman, like their yeah, their voices will come out and it doesn't quite fit with how their character on screen looks.
Just a little off.
Yeah.
And then like some of the controls were a little glitchy for me. Like there would be certain times when I'm literally trying to do, you think, would be the easiest thing in the game, which is just jump from one platform to the next. And for some reason, Batman would roll into the air and not fall off. And then I would try to jump and he would just jump on the ground. And that would be very frustrating in certain parts where you're trying to platform up,
yeah,
you know, because then you basically have to start over. And it wasn't really my fault, you know, it was like the game glitching, and like there was a certain part where that got frustrating. I was just like, ugh. Once I got the line caster thing, that it made that a lot easier, because I would just not even try to jump. I would just use the line caster and like glide over there.
Yeah, the platforming was a little wonky.
But
for me, what was worse than that was just having to hold the X button to run.
Oh my gosh.
And
yes.
And then it's like, okay, it wouldn't be so bad if there at least had an option to change it within the game,
mm-hmm,
where you could change it to pushing in the left joystick, because that's how like every game is nowadays.
Yeah.
And the reason it's that way is because you kind of like to have your right thumb for, you know, doing stuff or mm-hmm, changing the camera or not holding down a button.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of get used to it once you've played for a few hours, but yeah, it is like would not be my first choice.
Yeah, it's like the camera does automatically kind of come behind you. I don't know. You still like to have that control. Like,
yeah.
You don't have.
The map is helpful, but for me, I had to constantly be flipping back and forth between the map and like playing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it would get a little disorienting, and I just kind of wish there was like some kind of compass or some kind of navigation on the screen that you could look at while you're walking.
So you're not constantly having to bring up the map.
Yeah, because the buildings and the layouts are meant to be a little confusing in this, because you're trying to, like, a lot of times you have to find alternate routes around obstacles and stuff. So it's like, you know, it's hard to remember where you came from and where you've went and stuff sometimes.
The buildings themselves are like a maze. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So one of my cons was just the boss fights were a bit of a letdown, especially for how much the game builds them up. And I'm specifically thinking of the ones with like Killer Croc and the final fight with the Joker.
Yeah.
The Killer Croc one was just like boring.
Yeah, it was more about kind of being quiet and then he making sure you knew where he was.
And like, then like he occasionally jumps out of the water and you throw a batarang at his face and then he just falls off.
Just one little batarang, and that like makes him fall in back into the water, and then you do that over again.
Yeah, and it just feels like you're doing it way too many times. Like,
yeah,
because even when you are quiet, like it eventually he'll just start showing up every so often anyway. So yeah, it's really repetitive. And then that final Joker fight,
man, that was disappointing. Yeah, for sure.
It was just so easy. It was like
the pre-fight. The fight right before you get to Joker was harder than the Joker fight. Like the pre-fight, I probably had to try like 5 to 10 times to beat it, because it was just like a bunch of henchmen coming at you, and then you had those two big mutant guys that were running at you. So you had to do like all these things at once. And that was way harder to me than the Joker fight, which I only died once, and then the next time I beat it. So, yeah,
the pre-Joker fight was definitely way harder than the Joker fight. And part of it is like, I don't know, you kind of expect a little bit more. Like, it could have worked as maybe like phase one of like a 3-phase fight or something like that. Where it's like, okay, this is going to be easy because this is just the first phase.
Mm-hmm.
But then, it doesn't go anywhere after that. And you're just like, that was...
Yeah, it was anticlimactic. It's like,
is this really the end of the game? I guess it is.
Yeah, and it's weird because it has the Joker's health broken down into 3 sections. So you think, okay, there's going to be 3 sections where I'm fighting Joker. Basically, he's up on this ledge, and sometimes he turns around, and you have to pull him down with your Ultra Bat Claw, and then you, like, attack him. So you do that 2 times, and you're like, okay. You do it the 3rd time, and you think, okay, I gotta go attack him again. And, like, this is going to be a whole nother 3rd round of the fight.
Yeah.
And then it just ends.
Yeah.
The rest of his health just goes down once you pull him off the 3rd time. And it seems weird.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like,
seems
I don't know, it seems
finished.
Like there's a chunk missing.
Yeah.
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 Because everything else pretty much is in 3s. And it's like, this really isn't. So... yeah, they definitely could have, like, made that better for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Another thing is I think normal mode is a little too easy. I don't even want to know what easy mode is like, because I thought normal mode was, like, most other games, easy mode. And then when we tried hard mode, you know, it was a little bit harder, but I didn't think it was that hard. You know, like, I think normal should have been easy, hard should have been normal, and they should have had a harder mode.
Yeah, normal mode was not very hard. And one of the harder things about hard mode is, like, you know, the villains will flash whatever color for their attack. And the normal mode, they don't really flash a color when you have it on hard mode. And that does make it harder. So, and we never really got to some of the harder fights on hard mode. So maybe it is a little bit tougher in that way. But yeah,
it still feels like maybe the calibration is off a little bit.
Yeah, it does feel a little bit too easy for normal mode, but I'm not really complaining. It would have been nice if you could change the difficulty setting within the game so you could make it harder or easier depending on how you're feeling.
Yeah. Or you should always at least be able to make it harder. Like, maybe not always be able to make it easier.
Yeah.
But at least, like, have that warning that's like, hey, if you go up, you can't go back, you know? And then you can make your decision if you want to or not. The only other thing I have, the last thing, is, like, some of the dialogue is really cheesy. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of just like a part of superhero that, like, stuff, though, I feel like is those cheesy, like, taglines when they, you know, kill a villain or whatever. It's like, now you've been beat by the bat or whatever. I don't know. That's not one. I can't think of an example, but, like, it's cheesy and it's like, kind of a con, but also just kind of a funny, too. So,
yeah, that's true. And then my final con is just the game is a little bit too linear for me. I know the later games, you know, they definitely branch out more.
Oh, yeah.
More side stuff. And this game could kind of use that. But at the same time, this is the first one in the series. So overall, very good game.
It's a good beginner one that they were able to, like, build off of.
Yeah.
For the next ones.
Yeah. And it could be that normal mode seems easier because we're kind of used to these styles of games at this point.
No, because even like normal mode on God of War and stuff is usually like pretty challenging for me.
But that's what I'm saying is now that you're used to that style of combat, like, you know.
Maybe.
I feel like that style of combat was still fairly new. Like, I think it was maybe a little bit more challenging back then, but maybe yeah. not.
I just know I normally start on normal mode, and normally for me, normal is a good challenge in most games, but for this one, I didn't think it really was, so.
All right, so let's hear some strategy from Nikki that made her so good at it.
Yeah, I'm, like, really good at this game. I mean, I'm not too bad at this game, I feel like. Not to toot my own horn, but toot toot.
Wow.
So one of the main things is with the fighting style is you need to make sure you're countering the attacks. That's like a main way to lose your health. And obviously once you lose all your health, you die and you start the fight over. So, you know, I would pretty much just go like hit, hit, counter, hit, 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 counter.
Yeah.
Hit, hit, stun, counter. But I would try to just throw the counter in like every so often so that at least if the timing was off a little bit, maybe I still had a chance
to counter something. And one thing that was nice is you knew who was about to attack you based on, well, not every single time, but if there was some distance, like they would be the one running up to you.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, the guy running up to me is going to be the one attacking next. And you can kind of like...
Yeah, I mean, that's obvious.
Yeah. If you have a chance to see him a little bit, you can kind of gauge like, okay, I can counter this one or I need to parry or I need to dodge.
Yeah. But so, I remember at first I wasn't countering very much. And then once I started countering, I noticed a big difference.
Yeah, it's a lot easier when you're countering.
Yeah. Yeah, like the fights will take forever. You'll just be punching, punching, punching if you don't do some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
It's like you can win, but it'll take a lot longer.
Yeah, and that same sense, you could also just sit there and counter the whole time if you really wanted to.
I guess.
But it would definitely take a lot longer for the combat to
win. Yeah, that'd be harder. You'd probably end up getting hit more and stuff too.
So one of my strategies was I just spent way too much time in detective mode just because it highlights all the bad guys and makes it easier to find secrets.
Yeah.
Half the time I was playing the game, you know, I'm looking for secrets and stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. I like to switch back and forth just because I didn't like the way things looked in detective mode as
yeah,
much.
That's true.
I like to look at them. How they're really supposed to look.
The game looks much better outside of detective mode.
Yeah, it's kind of like... almost like an x-ray sort of style when you're in detective mode. It's like you see people's like skeletons and stuff. And so it's like you lose a lot of color and a lot of detail and stuff. So I didn't like to just stay in detective mode for a long period of time, but I did switch back and forth a lot.
I like being able to see where those henchmen are, you know, those guys with the guns. You got to make sure no one's coming up on you when you're silently taking one down.
Yeah, it's true. Exploring is a big part of this game. Obviously, you have to look around, like look up, look down. There's like little compartments that you can go down into sometimes and walk kind of like under the flooring. There's like lots of places you can grapple up to, a lot of like little vent compartments that you can kind of take the grate off of and like go in the vents.
There's always a plethora of bats. Sized vents or man-sized vents in these Batman games that he can get into.
And you know Batman's huge. He looks like he's at least like 6'5 or something, and he's just crawling through all these air vents like
I just can imagine the architect behind the asylum being like, well, we got to make sure Batman can fit through all these vents.
There's one where he's literally walking upright in the vent. And I'm like, not even crouching. I'm like, okay, I don't think so, but whatever. But yeah, it's really important to just look around, not only for the alternate routes, but also for the Riddler stuff.
Yeah. So towards the end of the game, when you start getting those mixed fights with, you know, you have the jacked up goons and you have a bunch of smaller ones, it's usually better to focus on countering and dodging the smaller enemies with your primary attention on the big guys, and just either wait for them to get stunned where they run into a wall or something, and then take care of the little guys, or just try to take care of them first so you can jump on them and do that thing where they swat all the little guys.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a part of certain fights where a bigger enemy will get stunned and Batman can kind of like piggyback on him and use him to punch other enemies.
Yeah, and even when they're charging at you, like they'll run and, you know, they'll do collateral damage to their guys. So just being in their path.
Trying to line it up. I would do that sometimes too. And that's one thing I noticed that God of War has is like that same mechanic where you can jump on the back of like some of the trolls and some of the giants and stuff, and you're kind of able to control them and punch other enemies and stuff. Yeah, I don't know if they copied it from that game, but
I think it's been done before even this game. But
yeah, there's definitely like a lot of stuff in this game that new games use often
all the time.
So
one of mine is just like, it took me way too long to realize that you were supposed to take pictures for some of the Riddler's riddles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember telling you that like right away so you wouldn't have to miss a bunch.
Yeah, that was helpful.
Yeah, because it was like, it wasn't entirely clear that you were supposed to be doing that to get the trophies.
Yeah, I think they eventually say something about it, but you definitely see some stuff before you know, and you're like, what am I supposed to do?
I remember getting my first one and being like, oh, okay, so that's what I'm supposed to do for that, for these, for when they come up on the screen.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to find, like, a picture of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. There's a, in the stealth parts, it's better to, you know, take down people by the silent takedown.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than
way easier.
Gliding and kicking into them just because it makes more noise. And if there's someone around when you do it, they're going to shoot you.
Yeah, especially if they have guns because, like, man, your health goes down so fast with the guns. So.
Yeah, so silent takedown and the bad gel was really helpful because you can remote detonate it from across the room.
Yeah, and there's, like, eventually this cool bat gel that you get where you can put it down and it'll auto-detonate when someone gets close to it, which is pretty neat.
Yeah. So pretty much all I got for strategy. You want to move on to future?
Yeah. Like, okay, so for the future, I just did, like, Batman video games, not just Batman in general, because there's always going to be stuff happening with Batman.
All right, so the main Arkham series consists of four games, Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Origins, and Arkham Knight.
Mm-hmm.
So the latest release that is actually supposed to continue the Arkham story is Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did you know that was set in this kind of Arkham?
I didn't. I kind of did see that game, but I didn't know that it was like connected to this series.
Yeah, and unfortunately has pretty mixed reviews, and the premise of the game never really appealed that much to me, but just in itself, it's like not a single player game, it's a live service game. I don't get excited about that. I don't know.
Just because it's in the same world doesn't mean that it should be a part of the same series, you know?
Yeah,
to me that doesn't really connect to what's going on in the rest of the four games. But
yeah, it's also connecting, you know, the Batman universe, the Justice League universe, which you know, I kind of like view those a little bit separate. But the other thing I had was that unfortunately it doesn't look like we're going to be getting a big AAA single player Batman game anytime soon.
I didn't find anything,
because WB Discovery, which owns the Batman rights, has openly said that they want to get away from those types of games.
Oh man,
because they view them as too risky.
Come on.
Instead, they have indicated that they are doubling down on the live service / mobile free to play games, despite the commercial failure of Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League.
And this is why they're not doing so great as a company. Like, seriously, look at their stock. It's the lowest it probably has ever been because they're doing what they think is right and not actually talking to people.
Yeah, I don't know. The live service kind of model feels especially more greedy to me than just like releasing a single player game.
To me, what's the risk? You already have these other three games, at least. I'm not sure how good Origins did, but the other three have done really good.
Yeah.
There's plenty of examples of tons of really successful action adventure games, like the Horizon games, Red Dead Redemption, God of War, that do really well. So I'm not seeing the risk here.
Yeah, I don't know.
What risk, you know?
Yeah, if it's done well, it seems like there shouldn't be that much risk, but it's also getting the right studio and all that stuff and getting a good product out there. And so one of those things that's probably easier said than done.
Yeah, they'd rather put out a crappier quality thing for free and maybe make some money off of it, is what it sounds like.
Well,
instead of putting out a high quality game and like charging people up front for it.
Yeah, it's the free to play model where it's like anyone can go into it for free, but like if you really want to like enjoy it or whatever, you have to pay some money.
Yeah.
And they end up
like, personally, I think that works for certain games, but I don't want it for Batman.
Yeah.
I don't want that. Like, it kind of works for Overwatch a little bit, even though I don't like it as much, but it kind of works with certain other games, but it's not just like for everything, you know, which I don't think the higher ups at some of these companies get. You know?
You can't do live service for any franchise because it doesn't always fit.
It needs to make sense.
Yeah, it's got to make sense. But yeah, I don't know. I hope they eventually get back into the big single player games for Batman, but doesn't look like anytime soon.
Boo.
So that's all I had for future.
Mm-hmm.
So what about this challenge?
So Nikki,
did you get the Conundrum Cracker achievement by solving 55% of the Riddler's riddles?
Oh, you know I did. And I even did better than that.
Oh, yeah?
I got all the riddles.
All the riddles in the game?
And I got a trophy called Crack the Enigma.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good job.
So yeah, I got every single one, which was really fun. I did look like two or three of them up, I won't lie. But honestly, like, I was able to figure most of them out. Just some of them were kind of hard. You have to really look at stuff from like all different kinds of angles and things. But that was a really fun like challenge.
Yeah, I liked it. I always liked the Riddler challenges. But yeah, that's cool that you got all of them.
Yeah, I remember like, because I played Arkham Knight first for some reason. I don't remember why.
There's so many Riddler trophies in Arkham Knight.
And that one, it was like overwhelming. And some of them were really, really hard. Like, I remember some of them you'd have to like throw the batarang and have it do like a cool like U-turn thing. And like, oh man, some of them were like so hard. So I wasn't sure if I would be able to get them all. But it's not as hard in this game.
It's not too bad in this game.
So I did it. Woo woo.
Cool.
I'm the best. Oh yeah.
Good job. Uh-huh. You went above and beyond my challenge.
Oh yeah. One of my cons though is like, I did all that. I got all the trophies. I did all the Riddler stuff. And you know what you get for that?
What's that?
You get a audio clip of him getting busted. Like, pretty much he's like obviously saying something sassy to you and you hear the police bust in and arrest him.
That's kind of funny.
That's all you get.
That's the kind of conclusive stuff. Like, hey.
I mean, I guess, but I was hoping for like a extra boss fight or something.
Yeah, they do that in Arkham Knight, I think, where you actually get the true ending of the game by getting all the Riddler trophies.
Yeah,
you get like an extra cool fight. But that's kind of a spoiler, so maybe I shouldn't have said that.
It's kind of a letdown, but it was still fun, though.
So okay.
I'm an overachiever now. What?
Yeah, good job.
Taking on a new lifestyle.
All right, so you got a game picked out?
Oh, yeah. And I don't know if you're going to want to get divorced after this or not. Just kidding. It's probably not worse than Superman 64. Just kidding, just kidding. So this is actually a game I've been having a little bit of fun playing, but I don't know if y'all like it. It was, we got it for free with PlayStation Plus last month.
I think I already know what you're gonna pick.
Or was it the month before? What do you think it is?
It's the Power Washer game, isn't it?
It's called Power Wash Simulator. And yeah, we got it for free with PlayStation Plus. I think it might actually just be free all the time.
I don't think so.
I'm not sure, but yeah, it's exactly what it sounds like, a power wash simulator.
Oh boy.
So you're power washing away, cleaning things up. And your challenge is... Evil. You have to get $500,000 in your business account. So when you're playing, there's like a tablet mode that you can bring up and it'll show like different things. And it has your bank money section. It tells you how much money you have.
So you want me to get $500,000 in this game by power washing stuff?
In the business account. So like if you spend money on cleaning products or extra equipment or whatever, that doesn't count. You have to have $500,000 in your account at one time and take a picture of it.
How much do you currently have in the game, Nikki?
I don't know. I think like 30,000 or something.
Okay, wow. Because you
played
this.
I'm actually not really sure. I haven't paid attention to my own amount of money. Because
you played this game a lot.
And I've been like buying and cleaning stuff and things with my money. So like, yeah.
Well, that helps
you anyway.
Play the game, I think. But anyway, all right. So yeah, I have to get a lot of money in that game.
Yep. Like you have to be hustling.
Ridiculous, insane amount of money.
Yep.
All right.
Think you can do it?
I'm not sure.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
I'll give it the old college try.
That's the spirit. All right. Until next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye.